Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com and live on Blog Talk Radio. It will live on YesNetwork.com the rest of the day, as it always does. We'll have Al Iannazzone, the Knicks beat writer for Newsday, joining us in just a bit. But before we talk about the New York Knicks, we lead off and talk about the New York Yankees, as I see Al just clicked in. But just a quick point on the Yankees before we move on to the Knicks with our good buddy Al Iannazzone. You could get him on Twitter at @Al_Iannazzone. But the New York Yankees just continue their smoke and mirrors tour to 2013. It's just unbelievable what they've been able to do with all the injuries to their lineup to get Curtis Granderson back, and now Travis Hafner goes for an MRI today on his shoulder, so they might lose him, but they get Granderson back into the fold. And they come back and they beat Felix Hernandez and the Seattle Mariners. Hernandez leaves after the sixth inning after tweaking his back. Eric Wedge didn't want to chance it with him, so he lets him go to the clubhouse, and the Yankees take it to the Seattle Mariners' pen. Just an unbelievable job so far by the Yankees, all alone in first place. Two games now ahead of the Baltimore Orioles in the AL East. Just a tremendous job. But we do have Al Iannazzone on the line. And Al, first and foremost, thanks for hopping aboard. We really appreciate it.
No problem. What's happening?
Not much. Good to talk to you, buddy. So the Knicks now down 3-1. And I guess there's so many places I could start with you, but I guess I'll start with going big didn't work against the big and physical Indiana team. What does Mike Woodson try to do next year to get a win in Game 5?
I'm on my way of practice. I'll find out in a little while. I mean, maybe you go back to the same lineup or, meaning the first few games. I understood what he did yesterday because Roy Hibbert has been dominating the Knicks inside, and the Pacers have just controlled the glass and everything. But the problem is you have too many non-offensive players on the floor, and right now this team is struggling to score points as much as they're struggling on defense. So,
right.
I know some people suggested you start Chris Copeland. I don't know, because they put him in, and his defense was atrocious yesterday. But, again, nobody's defending, and nobody's hitting shots. You think about it. They don't go on that 30-2 run where everything is working for them. It might have been a sweep.
Now, this is a team that won 54 games this year, Al. They won 19 of their last 22 in the regular season. Is this as cut and dry as the Knicks just being cold shooting and not, and the Pacers being able to get the board and either, if it's the offensive rebound, they're collapsing on Hibbert. They get the offensive rebound. Hibbert kicks it out to the outside. They're hitting threes. They only hit eight last night. But is it as cut and dry? Are the Knicks just that bad on offense, or is it the Pacers doing just a tremendous job defensively?
Well, I think it's both. Because, let's be honest, the Pacers probably should have won these two games by 25 points apiece.
Mm-hmm.
They got wide open looks all night because of the way the Knicks are playing inside, trying to trap or do whatever they need to do to Hibbert. You got to give the Pacers a lot of credit, too. Paul George is doing a tremendous job defensively on Carmelo Anthony. I said this all season long. If you're a three-point shooting team and those shots aren't falling, what are you going to do? Do you have an inside presence? Knicks don't have an inside presence.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because after they beat the Heat the first time they played them this season, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, and someone called in and said, you can't live and die by that three-point line. Three-pointers are fool's gold. And right now, the Knicks, game one of the season all the way back in November, and now as we're in May and they're in the second round of the postseason, boy, does that ever ringing true right now. The Knicks, the last two games, Al, they're 11 for 39 from downtown. And in game two, the game that they won, their only win, they hit 10, so they hit one less shot in game two than they did in games three and four combined in Indiana. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, this was a team that set a record, I believe, 891 threes made during the season was a new NBA mark. And I've been saying it all along. I mean, everybody wanted to point to how they beat Miami. They beat Miami by shooting lights out. Now, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have nights like that. You are going to have nights like that. They're not going to be every night. It's not going to happen when you're playing against a team that, you know, is only playing you for six or seven or five games. However, they're going to make their adjustments. And coming in, the Pacers were the best three-point defense in the league, and they're proving it. But look, again, their shots just aren't falling. J.R. Smith, you know, who was tremendous during the regular season, sixth man of the year, he hasn't been, you know, effective at all. Carmelo Anthony's struggling, but he's the only one consistently scoring. I mean, you would expect that he's their best player, but, you know, nobody else is beating the Pacers. You know, when you had the last series against the Celtics, Raymond Felton was beating the Celtics. Iman Shumpert had some good games. JR had some good games before he, you know, got thrown out for throwing that elbow and then suspended again.
Right.
You need other guys contributing, and the Knicks aren't getting it. Iman Shumpert, Kenyon Martin, Jason Kidd played, I don't know, somewhere between 60 and 70 minutes yesterday. They didn't score a point.
Yeah, I mean, what in your estimation, Al, is going on with Jason Kidd? He hasn't scored in eight games. I mean, it's like you've covered him with the Nets, and now you're with him with the Knicks. You probably know this guy inside and out better than anybody. What is going on with Kidd right now?
Yeah, it's surprising because, you know, from covering him with the Nets, you know he was never a great shooter.
Right.
He reinvented himself as more of a shooter. But you always had the faith that, you know, this is a guy who's going to make plays. This is a guy who's going to do something to help your team win. This is a guy who can settle a team down when they get a little rattled. And it's not happening right now. So I wonder what Mike Woodson does with him. I mean, it's clearly mental at this point. Kid missed a layup yesterday. He missed a fast break layup. And there are a couple times this year I've seen Jason Kidd, you know, up ahead of the pack and then pulling it out. Now, again, he's 40. He's not like he was with the Nets. But think about what he did with the Nets. He was attacking the rim all the time in the fast break, either for a layup for himself or setting up his teammates, you know, they were running alongside him. He just looks old. And I think a lot of the guys right now in the Knicks, they don't look as fresh or as hungry or as, you know, obviously effective as the Pacers.
Yeah, if you looked at that bench last night, it just looked like not only dejection, but just exhaustion. It just looked like they had nothing left at the end of that game. And, you know, Kidd, another point, you know, in game two when they won, Al, you saw, even though he didn't score a point, you saw a lot of hustle moves, getting the ball to, you know, saving it out of bounds, getting the Knicks another shot, another opportunity. He is doing that for the team. It's not like he's not doing anything when he's on the floor, but he's got to start scoring. And it just seems to me that this team is listless right now, and it doesn't know what to do. And and like you said in your article today in Newsday, this does not look like a team that won 54 games during the season. Pacers, great defense aside, you know, this is going to come down to pride, especially at home at MSG. If you can't force a game six back in Indiana, what does that say about this team?
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect them to, but, you know, they're frustrated. There's no question about it, because it looks like everything they're trying isn't working. And, you know, they tried to be more physical in the first half yesterday, but that didn't get them anywhere. It got them a couple technical fouls.
Right,
you know,
that was about it.
It got them in foul trouble, too. You know, I mean, just nothing is working. And again, the way they play, if their shots aren't falling, it's tough to manufacture points because they don't have guys who go to the basket that much. They don't have, you know, Raymond Felton is not penetrating like he did against the Celtics because the Pacers.
Is that the Pacers, you know, underneath? Is that just their physical play underneath that's keeping them out of there? Because J.R. Smith was doing that too towards the end of the season. Carmelo Anthony doesn't even he'll take a jump shot before he drives the lane. Is that the physicality of the Pacers, Al?
Well, I don't think it's the physicality as much as it's the size, as much as it's, you know, the way they pack the paint. They're gonna deny that. You know, you played against the Celtics, and you know, the Celtics have always been considered a great defensive team, but they didn't show it in that series.
Right.
Felton had his way with Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was second-team all-defensive point guard. My goodness, who's voting? I mean, he made Raymond Felton look like Isaiah Thomas. It was unbelievable. It's everything, Chris. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. When things go bad, they go bad. Now, the series isn't over. the Knicks could get hot. We've seen them get hot. If they start knocking down threes and their confidence, you know, J.R. Smith is a streaky shooter. Carmelo Anthony, when he gets hot, he's incredible. So, you know,
yeah,
I don't
that's
think
why. That's why I'm not kicking any dirt on this team yet. I Carmelo thinks, you know, they have the what they need. He thinks they're the better team. First of all, I'm going to ask, do you think they're the better team? Obviously not right now because they're down 3-1. But do you think talent-wise they're the better team? You already said the series isn't over, but do you think Carmelo, what he said is right after the game last night, do you think they could come back and do something special regardless of the Knicks and their franchise history, which is silly? They're 0-5 in series after trailing you know, in a series 3-1. But those were other Knick teams. This is this Knick team. I think those stats are silly when you break it down over – you know, different teams throughout history, but do you think they have a legitimate shot to force a game seven, maybe not win a series, but force a game seven on Monday back at the Garden?
You can't rule it out, because the one thing I will say, what we've just been talking about, they can get hot and the Pacers can get cold. I mean, they're a team that their shots won't fall either. I mean, the Knicks are not playing great defense, and they've let up, I think, 82 and 93 points. And that's because the Pacers are missing wide-open shots.
And that was that 30-2 run at the Garden. So, I mean, that could happen again.
Right. Yeah, 68 or 69 points against the Hawks, who are not a good defensive team, in the first round of the playoffs. So,
mm-hmm.
Indiana's a team that can struggle scoring. So, that's why you can't rule anything out at this point. It's not like you're down 3-1 to the Heat. It's not like you're down 3-1 to the Spurs. Or the Thunder, a healthy Thunder team with Russell Westbrook. You're down to a team with really no quote-unquote superstars, 3-1. And, you know, two of the next three games potentially is on your home court. So you can't say it's over. You just have to work much harder to push this series to seven and maybe even advance.
Now, Iman Shumpert was 0-for-6 yesterday, Alan, 16 minutes. He had swelling in that surgically and pain in that surgically repaired left knee. How much? I mean, it looked like it was hurting him based on his shooting performance, but if you talk to him after the game, how much was it actually bothering him, and is he a game-time decision tomorrow, or is he going to play?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out again later, tomorrow.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him last night, but you know, his knee was heavily wrapped throughout the game, you know, when he wasn't on the court. So
right.
You got to believe that if he plays tomorrow, he's going to be limited. You know, I was surprised he played yesterday. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to play.
Huh.
The fact that they had to fly in their orthopedic surgeon to look at him
right.
because his swelling hadn't gone down in 2 or 3 days. You know, that's a little, to me, that's a little disconcerting. So, you know, who knows? Really, who knows? They need to put 5 guys on the floor who can score, because their defense isn't getting it done. It's time for their offense, you know, to try to get it done. And again, I don't know if that means Chris Copeland and Steve Novak get more of a chance tomorrow. I don't know if that means more Pablo Prigioni and less Jason Kidd, because Pablo Prigioni has done a tremendous job moving the ball, getting guys open shots. You know,
it seems like the flow to the offense is back when he's on the floor. The ball is moving. He would rather pass rather than shoot. He's getting guys open looks. It would make sense to get Prigioni back in the mix here.
Yeah, you would think. I was surprised he only played 4 minutes. But again, the plan was to go bigger, to not get beaten inside, and look what happened.
And that didn't work because the Pacers were hitting their outside shots. You collapsed down on Hibbert, and the perimeter's wide open, and that's what happens, unfortunately.
And we found it 54-36 with a bigger team, and the Pacers starting front line, just their starting front line, those three guys grabbed 35 rebounds themselves. So they had one less rebound than the entire Knicks team.
That's unbelievable. And over the two games in Indiana, the Pacers out-rebounded the Knicks 107-76 and 34-21 on the offensive glass. You know, Al, one of the other things I saw last night, not the entire game, but the back taps of Tyson Chandler that were so key in getting the Knicks second and third opportunities during the regular season, they're really not working in this series against the Pacers, because the Pacers have good spacing on defense, and they're intercepting those back taps.
Yeah, and they're a big team. You know, I mean, George Hill isn't that big, but Lance Stephenson is a pretty big guard who I think he can have 14 rebounds in game one. You know,
boy,
and
is he pumped to be playing against the Knicks right now?
They just have guys who know how to get the ball. I mean, that's just the way it is. They box up. Paul George is going to be a good, very good player in this league. I mean, I know he's a borderline all-star, whatever you want to say about him. He just needs to get a little more consistent. But he's a tremendous player. I mean, he almost had a triple-double last night. He had 14 boards himself. He had a triple-double in the first round. They just have guys who have a nose for the ball, know how to play. You know, say whatever you want about Roy Hibbert. You know, I know people call him stiff, soft, all these other things. He's had a tremendous, tremendous impact on this series with his size, his presence, his length, everything. He's gotten into Tyson Chandler's head. He's gotten into the Knicks' head. So he's been huge for them.
Well, you know, it's cliche almost, Al, but if you ever interview a football coach before a game on either Saturday or Sunday, they basically give you the same thing. What do you have to do to win? What are your keys to winning? It's scoring points, it's defending well, and it's doing well on special teams.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, you know, it's cliche. What's that?
You forgot you got to win the turnover battle.
Yeah, the turnover battle. That's you rushed a bit there, Al.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, but we're on the same wavelength here. You know, in game two, the Knicks turned the ball over six times. And
yeah.
I, covering the Nets this year, I heard P.J. Carlissimo and Avery Johnson ad nauseum talk about protecting the ball. In game three, the Knicks turned it over 14 times. And last night in game four, nine times. That is obviously a huge key for the New York Knickerbockers in this series. You know, they played that game during the season. If they had 13 or less, wasn't it 13 or less? The coaching staff had a run, however many laps it was. They need to get back to that, you know, have fun. It looks like they're so tight, but the turnovers are a huge factor in this as well, Al.
Yeah, but Chris, I don't have the stats in front of me. Look at the Pacers' turnovers. The Pacers are committing a gross number of turnovers that, again,
it's just
that
the Knicks aren't hitting their shots. Yeah.
Right. And if the Pacers don't do that, they win by 25. I mean,
it's unbelievable. Yeah.
They hit 30% in the first quarter yesterday. The Pacers hit 56% and out rebounded the Knicks by 10 in the first quarter. It was only a 7-point game. I think it was because Indiana had like seven turnovers already, six or seven turnovers. They're not protecting the basketball. And that goes to why I say you can't rule out the Knicks in this series, because Indiana, both teams are flawed, but Indiana is a flawed team. And you would say, you know, this is the world we live in when it comes to basketball. Stars win for the most part. The best player on the court for both teams is Carmelo Anthony. If he ever gets hot, series changes.
All right, Al Iannazzone, the Newsday Knicks beat writer. We appreciate some time. I know you're on your way to practice, so I'm going to let you go. You can get him on Twitter as well at @Al_Iannazzone. It's IANNAZONE. Al, you're a great friend to me and to this podcast, and I really appreciate you coming on and giving me a couple of minutes.
Anytime, Chris. Thank you.
All right, take care, buddy. Have fun at practice. That's Al Iannazzone. We'll get back to the Yankees now. We have a couple minutes left here on the Off the Wall podcast. On Blog Talk Radio Live. If you want to get on board here, talk a little Yankees or Knicks with me, you can. If you're out there listening, the number is 646-716-4961. That's your two-way sports radio talk number, sports talk radio number, that is. Screwed that one up. Mad Dog always used to say that, trying to mimic the dog. I did yesterday on BPTV. I was watching my interview with Al Leiter and David Cohn yesterday, my hand motions. It's like dog jumped into my body, for crying out loud. It was scary. Anyway, 646-716-4961 is the number to get at me here. But I started this before Al jumped aboard and talking about the Knicks. I started talking about the Yankees and just what an unbelievable job they continue to do this year. As I called it, the smoke and mirrors tour 2013. Think about all the injuries this team has. And I know I've said this before, but you have to just reiterate it. You have to say it again. Mark Teixeira, out. Derek Jeter, out. Alex Rodriguez, out. Kevin Youkilis, out. Francisco Cervelli, out. Jabba Chamberlain, out. Eduardo Nunez, out. Curtis Granderson just got back. Think about it. I mean, Vernon Wells, the Yankees advanced scouts, and Brian Cashman, they saw something in Lyle Overbay. The Red Sox didn't. They waived the guy. And you look on Twitter before the season started, and everybody's saying, well, the Red Sox must know something if they're waiving this guy. Just call him Gapper. Lyle Overbay, I'm not comparing him to Mark Teixeira. So don't go nuts on me, okay? But Overbay sprays the ball all over the field. That's how Teixeira was at the beginning of his career. Overbay doesn't hit to quite the same average that Teixeira used to hit to when he was a gap hitter. But you get a little bit. You get a percentage of Teixeira in Overbay. He's not as good in the field as Teixeira either. But right now, Lyle Overbay, if there was a hole, gosh, if the Yankees were a dam this year, there'd be holes all over the damn thing. And before the season started, you would think that Brian Cashman and the Yankees advanced scouting department were plugging it with bubblegum. That's what you would think if you read Twitter. But once again, Brian Cashman and the scouting department are coming up roses. Big time. Lyle Overbay, Vernon Wells, who had a great spring with the Angels. He's starting to turn it around. He shortened his swing. That stroke looks great. Now Travis Hafner might have a shoulder issue. He's going for an MRI today. So it just continues. The injuries just continue. But a game away from the quarter pole. The Yankees are a game away from the 40-game mark of the season, a quarter of the way. They're 11 games over 500. 25-14. 2 games ahead of the Orioles, 3 games ahead of the Red Sox, who got out of the gates fast, but now have really floundered. They're 2-8 in their last 10. And you know, there was a sick stat that I used on Yankees batting practice today, and I started talking about it the other day, and I think I got cut off. But last Wednesday, I believe, when I did the show against Colorado, I saw this in the Yankees notes, and it's worth repeating if you didn't watch the show last Wednesday. But there are the top two teams in the American League on last Wednesday, and it's gone up for the Yankees. But the stat was starting pitchers going 7 innings and giving up 3 or fewer runs. The Detroit Tigers on last Wednesday had 16. The New York Yankees had 14. Hey, baseballthinkfactory.org, the one that picked up my blog that said I was just looking to cash my Yankee check in spring training. How's that blog looking now? How's it look? Quarter of the way through the season. If the pitching stays healthy and pitches to their capability, The New York Yankees will be in contention come September. I also commented on Girardi and the job he did with the Marlins. It's not like he had nothing down there. He had Hanley Ramirez. He had Miguel Cabrera, for crying out loud. Josh Johnson was on his pitching staff. He won 74 games with a bunch of kids. He doesn't have kids this year, but he has veterans who know how to win. They've been around. I know he won the World Series in 2009. And we still have plus three quarters of the season to go here. But I am not afraid to put out there and say that this season, the 2013 season, no matter how it ends, playoffs, no playoffs, this will be the best season that Joe Girardi has managed the Yankees. I'm putting it out there. I'm not afraid either. I think he revels in this. And I'll admit it. Sometimes when he takes a young pitcher out of a game, I still want to pull the remaining hair I have in my bald head out. Because I'm in that Nolan Ryan mindset. You know, if it's second and third, or bases loaded in the fourth or fifth inning, you know, and he did it to Nova earlier this year. He pulled him out. I think it was in Detroit. And he brings Logan into the game, and Prince Fielder destroyed Logan. And I know it's a Monday morning quarterback thing. It's hindsight is 20/20. But I thought it when he took Nova out. The only way these guys are going to learn how to pitch and learn how to get out of jams is if they pitch through them. Now, look, I'm not the manager. I'm not with these guys every day, and I say that all the time. He knows better than I do. I'm just saying that sometimes I don't agree with what he does, but I would tend to go on the side that he's probably right and I'm wrong. I give that to him. He's there every day. He knows these guys. That's what a manager does. He manages. But it's unbelievable to me. I didn't think the Yankees were going to do this. I think they would have contended. But that was when I thought Derek Jeter was going to be there. I thought Kevin Youkilis was going to be the everyday third baseman, and he's been on the DL. I brought this up with Alan, David, and Meredith as well on BP over the past week. Think about this. The Yankees' left side of their infield are the backups of the backups right now. The backups of the backups. Jeter and A-Rod, both down. Nunez, Youkilis, both down. Now you're getting Nicks, Alberto Gonzalez, and Chris Nelson. And David Adams might be coming up from Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Great kid, David Adams. He was eligible to get back on the 40-man today. It's also his birthday, and it's also the day he and his wife could find out what they're having, their first child, boy or girl. Adams told me God has a plan. Well, David, I hope God's plan is to bring you up to the big club, and I wish you the best. I really do, because it's nice to see kids with that mindset, that sense of, you know, he got cut by the Yankees, they brought him back, which is why he wasn't able to come up when Corbin Joseph came up, because he was added to the 40-man. But now, Adams could be added to the 40-man once again today. So I hope this is a very eventful birthday for him. I hope he and his wife are blessed with whatever they're told today, boy or girl. Either way, you're going to love it, David. Trust me. Either way. And the Yankees continue their series with the Seattle Mariners. Hisashi Iwakuma and his 4-1 record come into the stadium, and Phil Hughes will look to improve on his 2-2 mark. I love watching Hughes. I love watching him develop, and it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from his last start after his four straight unbelievable starts. He had a little bit of a hiccup, so it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. We have 30 seconds left here. I'm going to wrap things up. Our coverage of the Yankees and Mariners begins at 6 o'clock tonight with Yankees batting practice today. Sarah Kustok has you covered there. For the next two nights, she will be filling in for me on BPTV. And I will see you back here on the Off the Wall podcast live on Blog Talk Radio at 12:30. Living all day at yesnetwork.com the rest of the day. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. Later.